Well, let's turn in our Bibles, please, to Romans. Romans chapter 13. I'm going to take a little bit closer look at some things that came up during this past the family weekend regarding the one body. And what I'd like to do today is to begin to look at some things regarding loving one another. We've got Joanna. I'm sorry. It's right. She's right next to you. But we're going to begin to look at some things regarding love and loving one another. You know, in looking at these things, one of the things that we see is that we will see is that which God has given us to do, that which God has encouraged us to do, He has given us the means by which we can do it. God would never ask us to do something that we couldn't do. And not only can we do it, He's the one that gave us the ability to do it, which is really something. So that's what I want to sort of look at this morning, or at least begin. And to do that, I want to begin in Romans chapter 13. This that we're looking at is following on the heels of what we see in Romans chapter 12. And it is continuing with how God has arranged things in this body, in this body of Christ. Romans 12 is sort of begins the practical applying of that which was made available in Christ, that which God accomplished in Christ. It opens with renewing the mind, and then talks about that one body. And then when you get to verse 9, you have I believe it's an imperative, and it's to love. It's to love without hypocrisy. It's genuine love. And in light of that genuine love, it begins to lay out a number of things in Romans 12, which we looked at last week, and we'll look at that again as we continue in this. But in Romans 13, it begins to set some truths regarding God's arranging or God's arrangement in that body of Christ. A lot of translations handle this as all governments are of God, but it's really referring to the excelling authorities that God has set, that God has arranged in this body of Christ. And those excelling authorities are part of God's arrangement. And it goes on to talk about, you know, resisting God's arrangement or that authority. That's not where we want to be. And it begins to discuss those things. It begins to lay it out. But I want to get down to, and sometime we'll take some time with that, but regarding those excelling authorities in the body, in verse 7, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute, custom to whom custom, reverence to whom reverence, honor to whom honor. Verse 8, it's owe no man anything but or except to love one another. in this body of Christ, there are a number of ways in which we take care of one another, we recognize one another, we bless one another, we do all these things. But the one thing that is never, The one thing that is never paid is love. Isn't that simple? Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, that is.
Amen.
That's where it should be.
That's right. We always love. We never pay that debt. Anybody here ever been loved enough? Yeah, me neither. Oh, no, man, anything but to love him. One another. To love one another. For he that loves another hath what? He's fulfilled the law. Now, I want to just spend a few minutes with this. He that loves another has fulfilled the law. For this, or for example, you could read that. For example, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. Do you see, is it pretty clear how every one of these examples cited is contrary to love? Okay. It's really drawn a beautiful picture here. Excuse me. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this, saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love works no ill or evil to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the what? The fulfilling of the law. Love is the fulfilling of the law. With these things in mind, I want you to turn to Romans chapter 8. Go back. We've got to go back a little bit. So we've just read that love is the fulfilling of the law. And it's referring to the Mosaic law. It's the fulfilling of that. Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And that's where that verse ends. The rest of that verse isn't in any critical Greek text. And it really, it doesn't fit. Because it makes something appear as conditional. And when you understand what's preceded this, it is the simple statement. Them that are in Christ Jesus. Who's in Christ Jesus? All those who have called on the name of Jesus Christ. All those that have confessed him as Lord. Believe that God raised him from the dead. Them that are in Christ Jesus know what? Condemnation. Period. None. No condemnation. We're released, and it's referring to that combination or that condemnation that resulted from the sin and the death, which Adam ushered in. Okay? So you go back to Romans 5, and it was the Christ. It was Jesus Christ who paid the price for that. Okay? Romans 6 discusses some things regarding our identity. Boy, this is all Reader's Digest version. But it's our identity with Jesus Christ that when he died, it's as if we what? When he was raised, it's as if what? We were raised, see? So, we walk in newness of life, just like that. Romans 7. Romans 7 is written to them, verse 1, that know the law. Okay? And what Romans 7, sort of lays out, it is the flesh trying to deal with flesh. It's pretty much what it is. It's flesh trying to deal with flesh by way of the law. Okay? So, the things that I would, I what? I can't. By the flesh. See, you can't do it by the flesh. See, isn't that something? So, we're released from that. Romans 8:1, no condemnation. And then it says, to them that are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of the sin and the death. That law of the sin and the death is that law, that righteous law that God gave to try and control the flesh. Okay? For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned the sin in the flesh. I love that. We were condemned by the sin. Jesus Christ condemned the sin. Isn't that cool? Removed it. See? Removed it. So this is really neat, because it does refer back to Romans 5 and Romans 6. But in Romans 7 ends with, who's going to deliver me from the body of this death? I'm doomed. I thank God through Jesus Christ my Lord. Isn't that something? And then Romans 8, 1, no condemnation. Boom, free. See? This is what God was waiting for. This is what God wanted to do. And then verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after or according to the flesh, but according to the what? Or after the Spirit. See? Man, by way of his flesh, could not do the law. And God wonderfully provided means of, you know, making restitution by way of sacrifice and different things. It was wonderful. But man couldn't do the law. And the law couldn't give eternal life, even if man could have done it. See? I had, you know, there's a, well, doesn't matter. Anyway, try and stay focused here. But man couldn't do the law. But the law, remember what we just addressed in Romans 13, the law and the heart of the law is fulfilled in those of us who what? Have spirit. Okay? That have spirit. Now, I want you to, well, we're going to go back to Isaiah, but on our way, I want to stop in Matthew 22. No condemnation. Whoso loves another fulfills the law. In Romans 8, the law is fulfilled by us who walk by spirit. Matthew chapter 22. I wanted to read this beginning in verse 34. It says, but, this is with Jesus Christ, but when the Pharisees had heard that he, Jesus Christ, put the Sadducees to silence, which wasn't easy to do, they were gathered together. So they were going to take their shot. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt what? Love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. That's something. See, the law, this is what the law looked like. When you go through the law, it looked like love. That's what it looked like. There was justice. There were, when something was, somebody was wronged, that wronged was to be made right. When God gave the law, he said, nations are going to look at you and say, oh my, what kind of people is this? What people is there as righteous as them? That's something. So when the law was done, when the law was lived, it looked like love. That's what it looked like. See? On these two hang all the law and the prophets. Now the Pharisees all got caught up in the, you know, the silly things and forgot about love. They forgot about mercy, which is an active part of love. They forgot about those things. But that's what it would look like. It looked like love. Isn't that awesome? Okay, now we're going to go back. And we're going to read a verse. Well, let's read Isaiah 42 first. Isaiah 42, verse 1. It says, Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. That day is yet to come, but it's coming. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged or break down, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Literally, that's in him shall the Gentiles trust. Thus saith the Lord God, the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which came out of it, he that gives breath unto the people upon it and spirit to them that walk in. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness. So regarding this servant, this righteous servant, I have called thee in righteousness and will hold thine hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, them that sit in darkness, out of the prison house. Amen. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. This was regarding his servant, his righteous servant, whom he would uphold, whom he would be with, that he would give as a covenant for the people. This was written at a time when Israel was under the old covenant, specifically the covenant of the law. There were a couple, but the covenant of the law. And they were under law. They were also under the second covenant of Abraham, circumcision. But all of those things were law. And that's when this was written. This is discussing something that was coming. This was a new covenant. It was a new covenant that was coming. Now I want you to turn to Ezekiel 36. And this was a verse I think we read last weekend. Ezekiel 36. Ha! Yeah, this is great. Verse 26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Isn't that something? See? By way of spirit. In essence, my statutes will be written in your heart with this new heart that I will give, which is spirit. Here that spirit is referred to as a new heart. It's referred to as a number of things in the epistles. But I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians 5. There is a point to all this. It's really wonderful. You know, in Hebrews 9, lays out very clearly how it was Jesus Christ who was given, who was sacrificed as a covenant, that new covenant. That we just read about in Ezekiel, and that was talked about in Isaiah. And here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Verse 14, for the love of Christ, boy, we've read this verse a lot lately, haven't we? For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh or according to the flesh. This is what that love of Christ looks like. Hence, we know no man after or according to the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more according to the flesh. Verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ. Well, we know from Romans there's no condemnation, right? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. It's not a repair, it's new. Old things are passed away. Behold, and it should just simply read, behold, the new is come. The new is come. That which God promised has come, that Spirit is born within each one of us. See? That's what's new. That's what enables us to love like God's Word talks about. Love is the fulfilling of the law. See? And that's what the law was. The law was all about love. It was loving God and loving your neighbor. That's why it reads in Romans 13, when you love your brother, you have what? You have fulfilled the law. See? It's that love. That's what it looks like. And walking by that Spirit looks like love. That's what it looks like. Kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Because God is what? Love. See, we have his divine nature born within. So it looks like love. See? Let's go to Galatians chapter 2. We're almost done. I just want to lay some groundwork. You know, when we read things like this, henceforth know we no man after the flesh, you know, to love one another, to put others before self, all of these things that are involved with this. What's really thrilling is that, you know, we have the ability to carry these things out because of Spirit. We decide, you know, we make decisions, but we have the Spirit of God within. It's really something. And God works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. You know. And there's many ways to demonstrate that, you know, that love for one another. It's in prayer, it's in service, it's any number of ways. It's in any number of ways. But first and foremost, it's understanding your relationship with your Heavenly Father, and that you belong to him, and that you have his Spirit, his nature born within. See, that's where it really starts. And understanding that love that God has for us, how Jesus Christ accepted us unconditionally. Doesn't matter how big an idiot I was, he accepted me. Isn't that something? Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Verse 20, I am crucified, or I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I what? I live. Yet not I, but Christ what? Lives in me. See? Christ lives in me. That's referring to that Spirit of God. Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the believing of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Isn't that something? You know, I when I read this verse, I always think of the verse of Corinthians, we have this treasure in what? Earthen vessels. Now we're going to get new bodies one day. But for now, we've got the Spirit of God. And for now, we can walk with this kind of love. For now, you know, for now, God works in us to will and to do His good pleasure. These are huge things. I do not frustrate, set aside, or to disregard the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is what? Isn't that something? See? And what was happening here, and I know you guys are aware of this, but in Galatia, there were those who had come through and were trying to get the Galatians to do the Mosaic law, saying, yeah, Christ is good, that's a nice start, but there's a little more you need to do. Right? That's flesh. All that does is direct attention toward the flesh. And it's by way of spirit that we fulfill the law. Fulfill the law. We read that. See. Let's close in Galatians 5. Galatians 5, and I guess that's why he says in verse 12, I wish they were even cut off which trouble you. Anyway, verse 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Unto freedom. Liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. We serve one another. We don't use that freedom or liberty as a base of operation to satisfy flesh. We, by love, serve one another. And that love or that loving service is going to be by way of spirit, not by flesh. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even this, I love this. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Isn't that beautiful? It's so simple. All the law is fulfilled in this. Love thy neighbor as thyself. But in contrast to that, if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. That's not love. That's not love. But that loving service is by way of spirit, which it goes on to talk about here in Galatians 5. You know, the works of the flesh are these. But the fruit of the spirit is this. Why don't we read it? We'll finish. Okay. This I say then, walk in the spirit or by way of the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust or the desires of the flesh. See, and that's the answer, is to walk by that spirit, by that new nature that we receive from God. For the flesh desires, it wants different things than the Spirit of God. And the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under law. Because you are doing what? You're fulfilling. Isn't that, it's just so beautiful. Mm-hmm. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. They're pretty clear. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murderings, drunkenings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Those that practice such things. See? But you and I are not in that category. According to 2 Corinthians 6, we were sanctified, set apart, made holy by what? Spirit. God, yeah. Spirit. By spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, believing, meekness, temperance. And against such there is no law. There's no need for a law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And if we live in the Spirit or by means of that Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. See? We live by that, by means of the Spirit. Romans 8 lays it out. We're in the Spirit. We're in the Spirit. You're not in the flesh. No more. You believed on Jesus Christ. Therefore, the Spirit of God dwells in you. You're in the Spirit. Well, we're in the Spirit. We're going to live by the Spirit. Let's walk in it. See? Putting on who and what we are, putting on who and what Christ made us. See? And it's by means of that that we will carry out this love that is spoken of regarding that body of Christ. See? Isn't that beautiful? Amen. That's where I'm going to end. All right? So I'll close with prayer.